Turn with me, if you would, to the third chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Let us pray. Lord God, as we confront your word today, your word made flesh speaks to us in this place. So bring your word alive before our eyes, that we may see and hear and know your goodness and walk in your ways of light. For we want to follow you each and every day. So teach us, guide us, direct us, love us, and show us mercy through your word. Amen. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. When he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. So every Christmas Eve between our two services, we have our 5 o'clock service with the kids, and then there's several hours between that service and our 11 o'clock service for candlelight communion. And so the tradition in our house is between the two services is to watch my favorite Christmas movie. I don't know if it's anybody else's favorite Christmas movie, but my favorite Christmas movie, Elf. And Elf talks about the three rules of Christmas when they're in Santa's workshop. The elves learn the three rules of Christmas. And my favorite rule of Christmas is the third rule of Christmas, which is there's always room on the nice list. There may be people on the naughty list, but there's always room on the nice list. That's the embodiment of John the Baptist's message for us today, is that there's always room on the nice list. John the Baptist is calling the people back from their misbehavior, back from their injustice, back from their inability to work with God and to follow the teachings of God in the Scriptures. And John's calling them back to get them back off the naughty list and onto the nice list, back off of their own list and to following God. John the Baptist is an important person in Scripture, but he only shows up for a few pages. And he's kind of like our crazy uncle in the Scriptures. He's got wild clothes on, wild hair. He eats a diet that I don't think anybody's going to be writing a diet book about anytime soon based on the Bible. Wild honey and locust does not sound like a good daily diet to me, but it is a kosher one. It is a kosher diet. He was a faithful person. He's Jesus' cousin, and he's the one that God has placed in this point in the story to proclaim the coming Messiah. John is the new Elijah. John is the man of faith to proclaim the change that the people of God need to make. John comes on the scene just as Jesus is about to begin his ministry. And his message is simple. It's a one-sentence message. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. The first part of that message, repent, is what we are supposed to do personally. That John is calling people back one at a time to God. They've been following their own ways. And this is a consistent message throughout the Scriptures, calling the people to follow God and follow the Lord and to follow the teachings that God has given in the Scriptures. Paul says it another way in Romans 12. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Repentance is a word that we only hear in church, but to make it more simple and to take it out of church jargon, repentance means changing your mind, thinking differently. If we think about it that way, maybe repentance is a little different. And maybe we can align our lives with the ways of God more simply. Because sometimes it takes just a simple change of perspective. There once was a farmer who had land. He had a farm. And he grew bored with the farm. He decided one day, I'm going to sell this farm because I just don't like it anymore. It had everything that it needed. It had modern equipment. It had been very productive. It had done very well. So he called a realtor, and the realtor wrote up a very nice article to describe this piece of property. And he called the farmer on the phone to say, I've got your property description. Let me read it to you. And he read it and talked about how wonderful the land was, how great the home was there, all of the farming equipment. After the farmer heard the description of the farm, he said, hold everything. I've changed my mind. I'm not going to sell. I've been looking for a place like that my whole life. This is what the scriptures are telling us with metanoia and repentance. Sometimes it just takes a change of our perspective on what God is doing in our lives and what God's doing in the world. Our goal in life should be to find out what God wants to do and then do it. How do you do that? You could read more in the scriptures to find out what the teachings are in the Torah, the prophets, and in Christ's teaching. You could read the world around you and see the need that surrounds us every day in our community, in our nation, and in our world. Because there's much justice and mercy to be shown. You could also listen for the voice of other believers. Sometimes being in a group helps us to understand the needs both of our community and one another. And we can care for others together. It's important for us to find repentance in this life and to find repentance now. It is a very urgent message from John. It's a very urgent message from John the Baptist. There once was an older gentleman who was in a church prayer meeting, and he said this. He said, use me, O Lord. Use me in some advisory capacity. This is not what God is calling us to in repentance. God doesn't need a lot of advisors in the world. God needs people to be called to action, to do, to live out the changes that are done within us. John the Baptist says that it is bearing fruit. God wants us to bear fruit like a tree that is alive, like a tree that is growing. This is what we're called to do in repentance. The second phrase of this simple sentence of his mission in the world and of Christ's mission later is the kingdom of heaven. A better translation, a more recent translation of the kingdom of heaven has been the reign of heaven. When you think about it this way, then you can understand that it is about who is ruling on this earth. Because what we want to rule on this earth is not ourselves, but the Lord. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're asking God to make things work here on earth the same way they do in heaven. When God says in heaven, issues a command, it's done immediately. The angels obey. On earth, caught up in sin, that happens more rarely. As the prayer says, your kingdom come, your reign come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This part of the prayer is a prayer for ourselves and a prayer that God's reign will begin with us and extend to all the world. The reign of God could start right now. Could start right here among this group of people. If we want God to reign, then we need to understand who's been reigning now. And that is the devil, the evil one. That's the biblical answer to what's going on here. We could describe it other ways: injustice, disease, mistreatment, oppression. There are many ways to name this. And God is asking us to show a different way that the world can be run, that the world does not have to be this way. Now, John the Baptist would not win a contest of diplomacy. John the Baptist is not exactly a diplomat. He states things plainly and clearly. This is why the Herods will eventually put him to death, because John always told the truth, especially to those in power. That's what he does to the Pharisees and the Sadducees here. You've got to understand what the Pharisees and Sadducees are believing here. Somehow they think that repentance was not necessary because this was a family matter. You were born into your faith, it's your inheritance some way, and there's nothing that needs to be done. It comes down to, how do you believe faith comes about? Do you believe that faith comes from learning and growing? Or do you believe there's just nothing to do? John the Baptist was reminding those who led in his own time that faith was an active commitment, a practice among a community of believers. I've had minister friends in the Presbyterian Church, because of the Scottish ties of Presbyterianism. I've had friends tell me before about the many generations of their family that have been part of the Presbyterian Church, how their family was at different Scottish battles or moments of Presbyterian history. And that's great. Love to hear about Presbyterian history and moments in people's family. But when it comes to now and today, it doesn't really matter very much, because God is calling us each to repentance now and to the kingdom of heaven now. What we're building now is something for future generations to talk about, but it is something for future generations to live as well. Faith is not a birthright. Faith is what we are taught, learn, and share, and it's given by God's grace. And it's given by God's grace not just to Scottish people, not just to English people, not just to white people, but to people all over the world. How will the world know to whom we belong? They'll know us by the fruit we bear in the world. This kind of change is the change where others see our behavior, that God is at work among us, that God is doing things in our midst. Whether in this community, our church, it is at work in Bedford Christian Ministries or Shepherd's Table, some other ministry that we find, Bible studies that we hold together to try to understand this work together, and then to go do. Our personal belief and practice together is what Jesus still wants. Now, this is a time of New Year's resolutions. You've got a few more days to plan. I don't know if you've picked out your New Year's resolution. If you go to the YMCA at this time of year, you will see that it is very crowded for a few weeks, is it not? How many of you have followed a resolution you made all the way through an entire year? Whether it's reading the Bible through in a year, maybe you got to Leviticus and you hit a roadblock. Maybe we should start simpler than that. When they asked Jesus what the law was, what they should do, Jesus said the words of Leviticus and Deuteronomy: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, as he said it, and love your neighbor as yourself. Maybe we could start there in our New Year's resolution, to keep that phrase in our mind as the year goes on. Love your neighbor as yourself. The first person to love is yourself. God loves you. Jesus Christ accepts you. And Jesus wants you to love yourself first, to know that he forgives you, and to know that you are forgiven. Moving from there to love our neighbor. If you keep this phrase in your mind all during the year, you can't go wrong. Love your neighbor as yourself. As Jesus says, this is the law and the gospel summed up. Maybe you want a little more. The Presbyterian Church for this coming year has said that we are to be a Matthew 25 church. Matthew 25 is the passage where Jesus talks about being visited in prison, giving someone a cup of water, food. Again, if you want to know if you've borne fruit, Matthew 25 is a great place to look to see the fruit that is born in this world. This is how we put an end to the darkness. This is how we put an end to the evil. It's by doing good. Evil will not overcome God. Evil will not overcome us. Light overcomes darkness, and light shines in the darkness. Jesus wants us to make the earth more in line with God's will every day, to give a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven to the world. So don't wait until New Year's. You don't have to wait until the 31st. There's nothing special about that day. Go ahead and make your resolution now. Change your mind and give others a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. Conform your mind more to be with God than with the world, and show the world that God is here at hand. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, we thank you for the message of John the Baptist, who pointed at Jesus and said, change. The kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is still at hand. Help us to give our neighbors and the world a glimpse of what could be if we follow the will of Christ every day. In his name we pray.